This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
What that means, it is time for The Fantasy Show, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. It is time, everybody. Week 5 in the National Football League. Let's go. Your fantasy football start sits for every single game. And this is giveaway day, folks. Okay, this is everything sort of culminated in this 1 week. Got a lot of prizes to give away. All right? And so what that means is we are going to have the winner. We're going to announce it, Joe. The winner of the Sportsnet Fantasy Baseball Pool, who's going to win a Randall Grichuk Blue Jays jersey and a pile of Domino's pizza. We're also giving away our new week 2 of our If the Browns Win, So Do You. And the Browns did win 14-7. More Domino's pizza and show on top of all that. That wasn't enough. I realized I had one extra copy to give away of EA Sports Madden 22. So we're going to give that away too.
So did you just find that Madden code like in a jeans, like in a pair of jeans somewhere that you forgot to wash? Like what happened with that?
Well, it's all digital. It's all on my computer.
Oh, okay.
And so I found from the fine folks at EA Sports, I was just going through the inbox. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And then I looked, I'm like, oh, geez, I forgot to give one of these away. That's what I texted you. Okay. I was like, Joe, I got to give it's October. I better give this thing away.
So. Oh, boy. And also, I'll mention as well, if you're listening, we usually take people's questions, of course, right, on the people's text line at 590-590. But this morning, Andy, during the show, we're going to have NFL football. The Jets are playing the Falcons in England. So people, don't forget to set your lineups now, basically, I would say, right? So maybe when we do the text at 9, we can get to any like Jets or Falcons related questions right off the bat, so people, you know, have at least like what, 20 minutes to set their lineups if they still want some last minute advice.
Good idea. Yep, it's the first London game, and boy, show, I guess we'll find out how much football fans in England like the NFL, because whoo, that is a tough one. That is a tough one to sell if it was like an exhibition. Like let's say if it was the NFL in Toronto series, right. Jets Falcons, I don't think would draw too well, but hopefully
no.
It does in England.
I will say this. I'll say this about this England game. I actually do think that if you want the product on the field to be lots of scoring, I bet we'll see that today. I bet it'll be a relatively speaking high scoring game because both of these defenses are terrible, right? Like they're absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And there's a non-zero chance that the Jets win 2 games in a row today, and I mean, there's also a pretty good chance the Falcons win too. So, and hey, no Calvin Ridley and no Russell Gage for the Falcons either. So, I hope you're firing up yourself some Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, baby, you know it. Coming off like 30 fantasy points too, show. What a beast!
Yeah,
the real deal, Cordarrelle Patterson. Like this, sensational.
Patriots
I'm glad
Super
I got
Bowl
in
champion, Cordarrelle Patterson.
You're damn right. Absolutely. We need to call him the MVP, fantasy MVP, Cordarrelle Patterson. That could be the one of show, because every year we know there's some waiver wire pickup that happens early in the year and someone gets it. Maybe it's by fluke, or maybe you had a vision and thought, yeah, it was probably by fluke. And you pick up a guy and he turns out to be like your fantasy MVP. And that is what Cordarrelle Patterson could be. For me, years ago, as in Juju Smith-Schuster's rookie year.
Yeah.
He won me a championship. I picked him off waivers, and he won me a title.
I remember that particular year. I picked him up kind of off on a whim the week, because I think he ended up like getting the starting role like mid season, right? It wasn't like right away. And I remember I also picked him up that year, and he was like nails for the rest of the season. And I mean, I don't want to say like how the mighty have fallen for Juju, but boy, I mean, I honestly think it's not his fault. Again, like the Good Will Hunting reference from last week. I don't know if you've seen Good Will Hunting in the week that we've talked.
I assume not.
Yeah, okay, that's what I figured.
I have not. No.
simply that the Steelers' offense is so discombobulated right now, and it is in large part, and I'm sure you are experiencing a great amount of Schadenfreude because of this, Andy. But Big Ben, the noodle arm, is just he's not only is Big Ben on the back nine of his career, he is like walking from hole 18 to the clubhouse to get a beer. That's what he's doing right now. Right. That's what this season is for Big Ben.
he had one in his pocket. It's warm and he's sipping it on the way
back. Exactly. Someone like the vendor in between holes gave him one, and he's like you said, he's sipping it as he's walking to the clubhouse to like get a towel or something.
Yeah, and you know what? So here's for Pittsburgh receivers why I agree with you. It's not necessarily the receiver themselves' fault, because the targets are there. If you just looked at the targets, 8, 7, 4, and 8, you would think that's a really healthy target share. Yet, you look at Juju Smith-Schuster's numbers based off of those targets, 1 double-digit fantasy performance, 0 touchdowns, and he's ranked 188th. Ooh. In all of fantasy football. That feels so good to say.
You have to are hoping he gets like traded, essentially.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Like that's really what all you can do. You know, he's had more success TikToking the last couple years. And
you don't even know what that means.
Oh God, that app. I tried using it. I tried. I hate it. I hate TikTok. It looks so easy. Like, how can all these idiots who are doing all these stupid like tappy tappy tap things, and they're doing it. I tried that show. I'm like, I don't know.
You should see Andy try and use a smartphone. It is truly entertaining.
I can use Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. What more am I supposed to do?
Facebook
I
is like pictures? Facebook, honestly, man, is like the ultimate old man social media thing now. It is. Like, you remember, did you remember this past week? I forget what day it was. It was like during the week at some point. But Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp, I guess, are all owned by this. Like, they're all owned by Facebook, right? They all went down at the same time, and people must have been like coming out of their houses, like, "What is that? Is that the sun? Whoa. What is that? Oh my goodness! Oh my god! That must be what it was like." Or people flocking to Twitter for the first time, and then being completely horrified by what they find there.
Like, oh no, what is here? There's no pictures of food here. There's just horrible people's things. Speaking of which. You can follow us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. If you don't want turkey or you're sick of turkey over this Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, get yourself some Domino's Pizza. Head on over to Domino's.ca. Show lots and lots of significant injury news, and what the bleep do you do for your fantasy team with these guys out, such as Russell Wilson, broken finger, out a month, 2 months, depending who you're going to listen to. Surgery, pins in the finger. George Kittle to the IR. Like, those are two significant injuries and hits to a fantasy team.
Oh, yeah. The Russell Wilson stuff, you know what's funny? Like, the injury looked, I mean, to my untrained, non-doctor eye, it looked, like, relatively benign. I mean, it looked like he basically gave Aaron Donald a high five, essentially, right? Like, their hands got, like, tangled up his throwing arm was coming forward after he like had let go of the football, right? And his fingers got tangled up in Donald's fingers. And anyways, he's shaking his hand. Geno Smith had to finish the game. Ruptured middle finger tendon for Russell Wilson. Oof. Now I from what I've read, it won't require surgery because it wasn't torn. It was just like we were saying, ruptured. And I mean, that's not a great word by any stretch of the imagination.
Also a violent term.
Yeah, very, very violent. But apparently what they do is they immobilize whatever arm/hand you have so that the tendon itself for your hand is completely straight. And then your body, which does a great job of healing itself, typically, it'll you know, basically like reconnect or heal itself in whatever way it needs to. And then, you know, I guess the issue really is like rehab afterwards. But I mean, Russell Wilson is going to get all the best rehab on the face of the planet, I would imagine, right? So that's what they're saying. I saw Adam Schefter say earlier this morning that Russell Wilson may only miss a month. But, I mean, that seems optimistic to me after, because they were originally saying like 6 to 8 weeks. And will it require surgery? They have to see. So it's kind of a nebulous injury. Where are you on the value of Geno Smith, especially let's say if you're in a 2QB league?
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, how about this for a description? Ian Rapoport reports Russell Wilson's finger surgery was, quote, show, more complicated than expected. Oh, also not good, along with ruptured. Anytime a surgery is more complicated than expected, that on the throw end, not good. To get to Geno Smith, like, okay, during the broadcast, I know, listen, show, we're professional broadcasters, or at least try to be. So when things go a little sideways, you try to sometimes create storylines on the fly if need be. You know, I've done for play-by-play, I've done an injury goes down, somebody comes in, try to create those interest stories. They were trying really hard to make Geno Smith out to be like, Geno Smith is back. I'm like, Geno Smith was never here, folks, okay? He can't be back if he never arrived. Geno Smith's like, he's to here. Interception. Not his fault because Tyler Lockett tripped, etc. But it's like, let's settle down. Two quarterback leagues. Yeah, like, I think he has enough pieces around him and he's a little bit mobile that he could be serviceable. Like, hopefully if you're in two QB leagues, you've game planned better than for Geno Smith. But if you're in a pinch, yeah, like, I would still try to look at other guys like Derek Carr or Jared Goff if they're around in some capacity. But if not, then, you know, is it, yeah, I guess. Like, he's at least he's going to play. He's better than a backup who's not playing, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. I think the thing that concerns me the most also with Geno Smith beyond, you know, whatever value he has in a super flex or 2QB league is also simply what does this do for Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, right? Mm. I think I would say that Lockett, unfortunately, if I had to guess, is going to be the guy who does not benefit from this, right? Who suffers the most, I would say, just because Lockett's, you know, they seem to use them a little differently, and who knows if they deploy Lockett and Metcalf a little, you know, differently as well going forward now that Geno Smith's going to be the quarterback for the next month and a bit. But, I mean, DK Metcalf looked okay, but it's funny because I saw some people saying on social media, we were talking about that a little earlier, that, oh, Geno Smith's probably, or DK Metcalf's probably going to be fine with Smith as the quarterback because look at his stat line after Russell Wilson went out. I would argue that, sure, that's definitely possible, and anytime you have a freak like DK, it's probably, you can probably only hope to keep guys like that down for so long, right? But at the same time, Geno Smith has only ever been capable of making one read his entire career. And it certainly seems like for the rest of that Rams game, his first read was, where's DK? Throw him the ball. Throw the ball in the direction of DK Metcalf on the field. It's like when, like, Matt Ryan used to throw the ball to Julio Jones and, like, literally no one else. So we'll have to see if this evolves anymore, Andy. But my immediate take is that DK Metcalf will probably largely be fine. And I'm a little more worried about Tyler Lockett, who kind of already is boom or bust.
Yeah, after that really good start to the year, Lockett's come back down to earth and DK has taken over the role as a alpha male, I guess, as far as when it comes to the top target, as he should be. Guy's a monster. Two touchdowns last game, one in each of the games before, and five total on the year. Like, yeah. So I think DK is going to be fine. You just maybe instead of a mid-range WR1, you have to backrate him a little bit, but if he's on your team, you're going to play him. And otherwise, show that really, to me, with the mess in that Seattle backfield, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking the only guy I want on the Seahawks is Metcalf. Like, again, Lockett, yeah, like, he'll probably get his to a certain degree, but, you know, he's going to be more apt to be either really low double digits or high single digit fantasy points. And that's production you can get from a lot of places.
Yeah, and I mean, are you going out of your way to roster, I don't know, Alex Collins at this point? I don't know. Like, sure, I guess. He is rosterable if you're like in a 12 or a 14 team league or something like that, but if you're in a 10 teamer or you're in a 12 team, I would argue as well, frankly. I think there are probably better options on the bench or on the waiver wire, but I mean, you know, some people may not have a choice, right? I mean, there have been a lot of injuries so far this year, and we're only in week five. I mean, there's an extra week in the NFL season this year, so stuff like this is going to happen. Like, but going forward, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, and let's get to another significant one, and that is George Kittle, who's been really not 100%, I think, since after week one. He's been put on the injury reserve, calf injury, and apparently with that, they're expecting that he could be returning week 9-ish is the anticipated result. But boy, show this is a case where we came into the year thinking, all right, we know if George Kittle's healthy, he can be a stud. Hasn't been healthy the last 2 years, and now another year. So we really have to reevaluate going into next season where George Kittle sits in the tight end pecking order, which, as we've talked about, is razor thin to begin with. And now is it time for people to make a mad dash to the waiver wire for a little Ross Dwelly? Maybe.
No. I say
in?
No. I
Dwelly.
Say no.
Dwelly. No?
No.
There's pass. No Dwelly chance?
Hard pass, Andy.
You know who this really benefits. This is Deebo Samuel. And, folks, don't forget Trey Lance time in San Francisco. I'm excited to see what Lance can do and how he comes out after filling in mid-game. He looked great coming in off the bench mid-game last week when Jimmy G went down injured. Surprise, surprise. But as we know, it's a lot different from when you come in and surprise a team. And really, as a young quarterback, don't have time to get in your own head. It's just like, get out there. It's like, whoa, okay. Compared to when you have to plan and teams get the game plan for you. I think Deebo Samuel is the biggest beneficiary of this. He's that veteran that Lance can go to, just like Marvin Jones was early on for Trevor Lawrence. I think Deebo can do that. And Ayuk's value gets popped up, whereas Dwelly, I still feel, is going to be probably a guy show that, you know, maybe 3-4 catches. And if he catches you a touchdown, he'll get you 10-11 fantasy points. And if he doesn't, he's getting you 6.
Yeah, I feel like Ross Dwelly is just a guy. He's not the guy. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. Yeah, I think, you know what? This is the second last week I'm giving Brandon Ayuk a chance. We were all relatively speaking high on him, but if he doesn't produce again, especially with Kittle out on the IR for at least the next couple weeks, if he still doesn't produce now, he's in the same boat as Juju Smith-Schuster. And I'm not saying, like, drop the guy or anything like that, but you're going to staple him to your bench until absolutely otherwise necessary, right? So that's that. Like, I mean, I don't know. It, like you said, it's pretty much Deebo Samuel's offense. We can talk about this more when we get to that 49ers game, but I'm not as bullish on Trey Lance, like, this week particularly, just because so many receiving options are either, you know, inconsistent or, in Kittle's case, hurt. And I think a lot of Trey Lance's points last week, including that touchdown throw to Deebo, came on like a broken play. Like, it was like, mm-hmm, they were clearly not covering Deebo in the backfield, and he kind of just lofted it to him, and he ran completely untouched, like 50 something yards for a touchdown. So I mean, can you bank on that every single week? Like, probably not, right? So that's the only thing that concerns me a little bit. And I think they're playing the Cardinals this week, is it? So
yeah,
and the Cardinals are no joke. That defense is pretty good. Like, they have been more consistent early on, and I think it's a valid question to ask, like, is that going to keep up between now and the end of the season? But at least for this week, that defense is still fully healthy. So I'm wondering if Trey Lance might be he might be a sit for me this week.
I'm going to go the opposite, Joe. I think this could be a Trey Lance feast because of what you said, the broken play. Now, if it's Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, I wouldn't be looking to start Jimmy G anyway, but when it comes to the whole offense, that would be a bit dicey because he's not as mobile, not even close. He's slippery, but not, you know what I mean. He's not quick, not fast, not big. Trey Lance is. So I could see a lot of plays where he's rolling out, and maybe it won't equate to the best real-life football outcome, but fantasy-wise, I could see him being, you know what? I don't know if this... Is this a danger zone pick that Trey Lance leads the 49ers in rushing today? Is that mediocre danger? Because that's truly what I believe. Is that not dangerous enough?
I'll say no, only because we know that this is not Matt Nagy running the offense here, right? this is Kyle Shanahan, and we know what he loves to do with legs. So I'm gonna say it's like a medium danger, you know?
Okay, it's meter. Yeah. It's me. I got another one for later, but okay, I think Trey Lance is somebody I want to start, and that they'll be forced to throw the football a lot. But that's something to keep in mind. Apparently, too, early start information. Denzel Mims for the Jets is active today. That doesn't excite me too much, but if you're a Denzel Mims owner, show, you can get him in there.
Elijah Moore, too, I think, also active for the
Jets.
Yes,
I'm just reading that. That's what's from Ian Rappaport. I believe you are right. Yes, so Moore, Mims, Crowder, Michael Carter. Again, these are all players with a lot of potential, show, and maybe this could be a breakout game for them. But honestly, if we're being asked that question, it's not anything we can point to and say yes, because we have not seen it. To me, to be more certain, you have to actually see that top production. We have not seen it from any of them. They could, and it's also that London game, which weird things can happen over there with the time change and all the travel. So it's a bit of a dicey situation with that.
Okay, you want to get to our start sits then and just get right into Jets Falcons?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Well then, you know what? Then I'll say this for the Jets, Andy. Start Corey Davis and rely on nobody else. That's basically it for the Jets.
Yeah, like, and even with those returning bodies, like, how much can you even count on him? At least he was getting the target share before, right? So, if you have to start a Jet, like, my advice typically is to try to not. Michael Carter did get his first career touchdown
last
week. You know, I think in a desperation spot, like let's say this show, would you rather start Michael Carter or Myles Gaskin, who's been fantasy poison?
Yeah.
He's on my bench. I'm very upset about Myles Gaskin.
Gosh, if I had to pick between those two, I might pick Michael Carter, if only because the Dolphins are playing, I believe, the Buccaneers this week, and that's like that's not a great matchup for literally any running back, much less Myles Gaskin. And then you got Michael Carter playing the atrocious, just terrible, abysmal defense of the Atlanta Falcons. So, okay, if there was ever a week you're going to start Michael Carter, it probably is this week, I guess. But I mean that it's such an unreliable play. I feel guilty for saying you could do it because I don't want to I feel like I'm tricking people essentially. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
it
really is Corey Davis or bust. Like Corey Davis, Zach Wilson will throw this guy the ball to the detriment of the entire team. Like, you know what I mean? Like 29 targets so far this year. Great performance against the Titans. A revenge game. Hashtag revenge for Corey Davis against his former team, right, last week. But you know what? He's the WR20 in PPR leagues on the year so far, which, you know what, is pretty decent considering the atrocious state of the Jets' offense, right? Yeah, I think it's not bad. So, but I mean, other than that, you can get away with doing it if you really have to with Michael Carter, but I just can't. If you don't have to, please don't.
Try not to. Yeah. Now for the Falcons, we talked about it. Cordarrelle Patterson, get that man in your life, folks, as much as possible. Cordarrelle Patterson, Calvin Ridley out, Russell Gage out. Patterson has been such an interesting mix in that offense as not your typical gadget guy that he has been his whole career. Show because usually if you hear a guy, you can put him in the backfield. You can slot him out, and then you look at fantasy numbers, like, that guy makes, like, one highlight play, and it equates to, like, 7 points. Not so with Patterson, because he is taking away a significant amount of touches from Mike Davis. He is contributing in a significant way in the passing game. So, for Cordarrelle Patterson, to me, he becomes the top target, a must start. The question show is this, with the target share getting around the 7-9 mark, is this the week we see our preseason darling Kyle Pitts emerge and finally be fantasy relevant?
If Kyle Pitts doesn't produce against the Jets, it's time, I think, to label him a TE2, and that's it.
Oh,
I think. Unfortunately, I don't want to, because like you said, we both are pretty high on Kyle Pitts. Like George Kittle has more points on the season than Kyle Pitts does in PPR leagues, right? Like, and that's like Jared Cook has more points. Mike Gesicki has more points.
Oh.
Dawson Knox has more points. Dalton
Stop.
Schultz has more points. Like,
no.
it's not good,
no.
Andy. It's the Kyle Pitts situation this year has been ungood, let's say, to use the Moro phrase. Yeah, it's look, he's a TE2 for me this week because you got to see it. But like you said, no Ridley, no Gage. I'm sure we'll be hearing Olamide Zaccheaus' name at some point this week, but that's like more of a fill out the bottom of your lineup on a DraftKings play than a season long start and anything else. But yeah, I mean, Kyle Pitts has got to be started because of the matchup and because of the lack of other receiving options. And you know what? I actually don't dislike Mike Davis this week either, because he has been, it's been relatively mediocre. Don't get me wrong, right? I mean, and a lot of the downside for him has come essentially with the upside of Cordarrelle Patterson, essentially, right?
Right,
like that's
right.
Essentially what's happened, like you were talking about. But even with Patterson emerging, Davis still has 16 catches in a season that's only, you know, 4 weeks old, 5 weeks after today. And the Jets have already given up 288 receiving yards to running backs. So you would imagine that Patterson is going to be taking some of that as well. But I mean, considering that, again, Ridley and Gage are out, and they do already like to throw the ball to Mike Davis. I actually, if you had a choice to start both of these guys, I know it's like a super risky play because it's the Falcons and
Ooh.
It's also the Jets, but I wouldn't mind it, honestly. I think Mike Davis is a decent, like, you know, low to mid-tier RB2 maybe this week.
Boy, well, the way that the running back situation is looking, if you have access to Mike Davis, at least you know he is going to be involved with the game plan, unlike some other guys. Okay, you know what, Joe? I was thinking about this. This is my bonus danger zone pick, okay? You ready for this?
Okay.
Hayden Hurst. Remember him? Remember my darling from last year, Hayden Hurst?
Oh, man.
He dusts himself off, and out of nowhere, I'm calling it, folks, okay? The early game, 9:30 Eastern, out of London, England, Hayden Hurst, more fantasy points than Kyle Pitts today. Hayden Hurst rises. Everyone's going to be focused on Pitts. Everyone's going to be focused on Patterson. Hayden Hurst slithers around and outpoints Kyle Pitts.
Gosh.
Danger
that,
zone.
That, you know what? That is dangerous, and I hope it doesn't happen because it essentially means that anyone who spent up on a high auction value or high redraft value on Kyle Pitts is probably going to be screaming at their TVs at like 9:30 a.m. Eastern, essentially.
That's right. You know what? I'm going to get Hayden Hurst in one of my DraftKings lineups. Right. I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. So there, that's the early game, folks. Remember, 9:30 Eastern kickoff from London, England. Ridley and Gage out. And Mims and Elijah Moore in for the Jets. So those are the start sits. We will take the break. And when we come back, it will be our continued fantasy football start sits for every game in week 5. This is the Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Back and rolling on The Fantasy Show, week 5 in the National Football League across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. You can get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. The People's text line is open at 590-590, name and location with your fantasy football question. We've got a bunch coming in on Twitter as well. We'll get to that. Those questions at the top of the next hour. Giveaway day, folks. We're going to announce in that 9 o'clock hour the season-long winner of our Sportsnet Fantasy Baseball Pool Listener League. Also, Domino's giveaway. I'll give the question. Okay? We introduced this 2 weeks ago show. Every time the Browns win, you, the listener, wins. And the Browns won, 14-7. So to win a Domino's Pizza prize, the question is this. Which Browns player led the team in receptions during Cleveland's 14-7 win over the Vikings? Which Browns player led Cleveland in receptions during the team's 14-7 win over the Vikings? So you can text that in, I guess, really anytime now, and we'll pick one at the end of the show. And also, in the 9 o'clock hour, tell you how you can win a copy of EA Sports Madden 22. I found an extra copy, and I figured it's time to give it away. Pretty good day, show.
Pretty good day, yeah, like you said. And like you said, we'll do the fantasy baseball pool winner in the next hour and answer all your questions in the People's Text Line. I see more coming in. And I'll just want to remind everyone, because in an hour's time, an hour from right now, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, Jets-Falcons gets going in London, England. If you text in and you have questions that concern a Jets or a Falcons player, we'll bump those to the top of the line. We'll read all
good
those
idea.
Ones. I see one from Jesse from Woodbridge. He wants to know about Jameson Crowder, for example. I see a question from Paul. Corey Davis is in there. You know, a couple of questions that do concern guys like that. And so we'll get to all those questions in about half an hour.
Okay, that sounds good. But we got a lot more games to get to in week 5. In the NFL. So let's begin. It is the Green Bay Packers at the Cincinnati Bengals. This one, show, could be a fun little aerial shootout with how well Joe Burrow's been chucking it around and Aaron Rodgers and all that. This one could be interesting. Aaron Jones a little banged up. Looks like he's back to full health coming into this game. So that's good news for everybody. That Cincinnati defense right in the middle of the pack as far as giving up runs to two running backs, fantasy points there. And it's more the defense is, like I said, like middle of the road at best towards the bottom. But show the difference is that you got Joe Burrow, who has found his swag again, and he's not afraid to sling it. So I hope for fantasy owners, this is a nice, fun back and forth.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Jair Alexander is out for this game. He's on IR.
Yes.
And so Jair Alexander is the guy I think you would have been really afraid of if you were starting maybe like Jamar Chase, I would say. And T. Higgins is supposedly coming back in this game. So, you know what? Yeah. I think you'll have to monitor the status of Joe Mixon probably right up until kickoff, because this is one of those things that I know the insiders are saying he is expected to play, but I'll believe it when I see it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's one of those things where they could be trending in the right direction, but Joe Mixon hasn't practiced all week. So it is at least within the realm of possibility that they say that, and then like minutes before kickoff, he's inactive or something, right? So just monitor that. I would say I think is probably the best thing to say. But Joe Burrow, I think, is my favorite QB start this week, just because the Packers defense, I don't know, they're not great, right?
They're not great.
And now they're missing Jaire Alexander, their top cover corner. Like, I would expect Joe Burrow to be a bona fide QB one this week. And I know last week. Because they played on Thursday Night Football. Last week, the Bengals looked pretty good, but I mean, you know, grain of salt because they were playing the Jags. But yeah. I mean, at the same time, Burrow has more receiving options. He's going to have to throw the ball more, even if Mixon does play, because he'll likely be hobbled. You know what I mean? Like, I really think like Burrow this week. You know, you're going to start Jamar Chase either way. And I'm staying away from CJ Uzoma because I need to see him do that, you know, more than just 1 week in a row, essentially.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the tight end group. They have so many weapons at wide receiver. The tight ends, I think, will just be, it feels like you'd just be chasing
all year.
You'll have one up. Oh, I didn't start him. Then you'll start him, Uzoma will have a bad week. And then he'll have a, so that's a little bit too much of a roller coaster. I'm actually in the situation with Joe Mixon that I'll be tracking at show where, like you said, it says he'll play, but for one of my teams, this is my situation. Running back, I'm decimated. My options are a hobbled, let me get your take on this.
Okay.
A hobbled Joe Mixon or Miles Gaskin off the bench.
Gosh, I guess if let's say, put it this way, if it's like, if the active inactives list comes out for the Bengals and it says that he is playing, I'm playing Mixon over Miles Gaskin. You have to. I mean, if you're playing Gaskin at this point, you're essentially hoping, especially with Tua out, you're essentially hoping that he just finds the blind, like a blind squirrel finding a nut, right? You're hoping he finds the end zone, essentially.
Here's the thing, Show. If the results for Miles Gaskin are the same as last week, you'd almost be just as fine starting an inactive Joe Mixon. He had 0.3 fantasy points. 0.3. Think about this, Show. You personally had 0.3 less fantasy points than Miles Gaskin last week.
Awesome. I mean, I probably moved around 30 yards or so on Sunday. Like, over the whole day, I probably traveled 30 yards.
I would say so. And for the Packers, I feel it's just something where it's usual suspects.
Yeah.
Right? We're not reinventing the wheel. People getting excited over Randall Cobb. Okay. I think that was probably more of a feel-good type of one-off and more of a concern where Cobb could be a vulture of targets rather than somebody you'd want to rely on specifically. And we've just seen the Robert Tonyan situation crashing down like we thought.
Yeah. I mean, look, I definitely thought, and you and I both said this in the preseason, that there would be some regression, but I mean, this is like complete going the other way. This is like, you know, it's his value is cratered, essentially, right? He's at the point where you could probably just cut him entirely and pick up essentially a random tight end and probably get more consistent. Like, you could probably pick up Tyler Conklin from the Vikings and have more value on a week-to-week basis than hoping, essentially, again, like Miles Gaskin, hoping that Tonyan finds the end zone. That's essentially what you're doing.
Two catches, 8 yards last week. Now, he did have 7 targets, so maybe it swings back around, but I'm with you. For this week, I would rather look at somebody off the waiver wire. Like, in one of my leagues, I have TJ Hawkinson, who's a little banged up, so for some insurance, I picked up Zach Ertz.
Right.
Who...
he's been better.
Look what Zach Ertz has done the last 2 weeks, folks. He's put in the teens fantasy points as sort of the... him and Dallas Goedert sort of flip-flop position. So that's, I think, a better start than Robert Tonyan out of that play there. But otherwise, you know, you're Aaron Jones, you're Aaron Rodgers, you're Davante Adams, and then you kind of move along, right?
Yeah, exactly. Randall Cobb, look, I'll just say this before we move on to Lions-Vikings. Randall Cobb has to have gotten a touchdown. Otherwise, Aaron Rodgers basically forcing the Packers management at like gunpoint to trade for his old buddy will look terrible, right? So he basically had to force Randall Cobb a TD at some point just to make it worth it. But that might have been it for the season. So yeah, unless you are in like the most dire of straits, Randall Cobb is not really on the fantasy radar. Like maybe a flex play in the deepest of 14 team leagues, but or a DFS play to fill things out. But otherwise, you can't bank on that reliably.
No, not at all. All right, let's move on to Lions and Vikings and Minnesota's offense, boy. Having been able to see Kirk Cousins up close, their show on TV when they're playing the Browns last week. It really sunk into me the criticisms of him, because if you just look at the stats of Kirk Cousins, you're like, wow, guy's good. When it is crunch time, to see him mentally unravel is just, I don't even know what to equate it to. Like a NASCAR, like, crash into the wall? Like, to see him unravel in clutch situations was a strange type of spectacular. You're like, wow, this guy has all the talent. And then when it's just any sort of pressure, he just wilts. So I think against the Detroit Lions will be an easier outing for him. He has bounced back in the past. And, you know, Dalvin Cook is going to be a true game-time decision, people, okay? Dalvin Cook, true game-time decision. And I would caution, just like last week when he played the Browns and he was a bit healthier last week, he's going to be in for a couple plays, burst, and then brought out with that ankle, if he plays at all. Dalvin Cook, I would look to sit if at all possible. And it's going to be show at the expense of, obviously, you don't have anybody better, but, you know, then you try to go the Madison route or just go fill in, because I don't think Dalvin Cook is going to get enough snaps to get you into double digits this week.
Well, I'll say this. On Dalvin Cook, as far as I'm aware, it was a pretty dicey situation going into last week, and it's unfortunate because if Dalvin Cook starts, you kind of have to play him, right? Because he was like, you probably, at what? At worst,
second
he was,
overall pick.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he was taken with a top three pick in almost every league. So, or if you're an auction league, you probably paid a very healthy amount for mm-hmm. him, right? So I will say this on Cook, simply that, whereas the reports going into week four last week were less than encouraging, there haven't been any setbacks this week. Like, he's practiced mostly in full all week this past week, and there haven't been any, like, there, you know, sometimes when they get injured or something, they're like, oh, Dalvin Cook was held out because they're being cautious with him. He's basically practiced for the most part all week. So I would say if he starts, like you said, it's a true game time decision because they're being cautious with their star running back. But if he plays this week, he might be on a bit of a snap count like he was last weekend, but I think against the truly abysmal Lions rush defense, I feel like you kind of have to start.
You might not have a better option. That's the thing. And then receiver, Justin Jefferson.
Thielen.
Obviously. Yeah. Adam Thielen, obviously. Conklin, like, if you're in a pinch, the traditional sense of that offense is to use a tight end. KJ Osborne has come back to earth the last 2 weeks from his hot start. So maybe Conklin, like, I would be more, I would try not to start Conklin show. If he has a productive week this week, then maybe I can start seeing a trend where they're going to work in the tight end into the offense more, which again is that Kubiak-style traditional offensive way. But until I see that for another week, I'm going to try to hold off on him. And then with the Lions, TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift, both expected to play, but both not at 100%. Swift with a groin injury is questionable, and Hockenson, as reported about 20 minutes ago by Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, is expected to play, but it won't be at 100%. He has a knee issue.
And on Swift, Swift and Jamal Williams are probably both. I mean, Swift is the lead back, obviously, but Jamal Williams is certainly startable in, I would say, half or full PPR leagues. He's just been playing very well this year, right? And I think he's a little healthier right now. But I'm not too concerned with the groin injury, unless it gets aggravated in game. Swift has basically been playing with a questionable tag all season, right? And I think last I checked, he is expected to play. It's just they're just being cautious with him because he is there, much like Dalvin Cook, he's their star, right? So I think Swift is very likely to play, barring some like last minute setback. So like with anything, you got to monitor that right up until game time. But everything I'm seeing is pointing towards Swift playing. And if he does play, especially in half or full PPR league, Swift is probably a lower tier RB1, I'd say.
Yeah, and Jamal Williams does have a hip issue. It popped up on Wednesday, but it seems more of a midweek issue, according to Adam Schefter, in that it shouldn't be a problem. I think Jamal Williams in a pinch is usable in a flex, and obviously a high-end option if something happens to Swift mid-game. Hockenson, yes. Like we just said, he can. Now, he's had a couple down weeks, but he's going to get that target share as well against Minnesota. So I think you play Hockenson, regardless, that he will start there. And then, like we said, that's pretty much it for the Lions, right, Joe? Like, Quintus Cephas, I'm not rushing to play him, although he did get 12 fantasy points last week. Still, the production's just not there.
Yeah, exactly. I think that essentially in this Lions offense, DeAndre Swift operates as the number one wide receiver sometimes, right? And I think as long as Tyrell Williams is out, sure. I mean, you can start Cephas in a pinch, but I think you're gambling more than I think you'd like to be if you start any of those guys. So I'm staying away from, like, essentially it's Swift, then Hawkinson, then Williams, and then that's pretty much it. If you're in a pinch, if you're in a 2 QB league and you're a Russell Wilson owner, could you do worse than Jared Goff? I guess, but I mean, you don't want to, hopefully you're not in that situation.
Right, exactly. All right, let's move on to Denver Broncos at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it looks show that this is the description. It's so, like, instead of a concussion, they said despite a brain injury, Teddy Bridgewater. I'm like, "Ugh, I don't like it described like that."
Yeah.
Injured brain, which I guess is what it is, but
imagine like for concussions, like in brackets, like for the injury, it said like Teddy Bridgewater, and then in brackets said brain. You'd think something terrible. You'd think that'd be awful, even though that is what a concussion is. But still,
that is what a concussion is, exactly. But Drew Lock is just, boy, what a bust. I'm glad, if you're a Broncos fan, you should be glad that John Elway is not making, at least officially, the draft picks when it comes to quarterbacks anymore.
So we're not locked on lock this week, Andy?
Ooh, no
boy,
locked,
no locked on
your lock take was as bad as my Evan Engram take last
year.
Yeah,
those are some bad takes from last season. Let's pretend we never made those picks.
Nah, you can't. It's no fun if you get it right all the time, right?
Yes, it is.
That's no fun. Okay, it is, yeah. But we won't be. Teddy Bridgewater back in. Of course, it's a little dicey to rely on. Is he one hit away from going back out? What's the situation going to be? Teddy Bridgewater has proven, like we spoke about in the preseason. Now, number one, the first 2 weeks, he was a QB 12 to 14. He was borderline serviceable as a QB1. And more importantly, he makes the pieces around him functional as far as fantasy relevance, and in a big way, especially with some of the different injuries. Jerry Jeudy, Hamler out, Tim Patrick, a big contributor. Noah Fant. I still don't like Noah Fant. I still don't like him as a tight end, but with how thin the group is, maybe you got to play him. I just really like Tim Patrick as a play this week with Teddy Bridgewater in.
Yeah, and you got to remember, too, I think Cortland Sutton is dealing with an ankle injury that cropped up during this week of practice. So he is, I think, like we've been saying, this is going to be a theme, I don't know, the rest of the year, I would imagine, Andy, but he's another game-time decision. Got to monitor that, right? If Sutton starts against the Steelers, I mean, I still think he is, just with the injuries at quarterback, it downgrades the whole offense. The ceiling is pretty low, it feels like, right? So I feel like if Sutton does play, if he is nursing an ankle injury, maybe he's nothing more than a lower-tier WR2. So, if those guys are the only guys you can play, Sutton, Patrick, and Fant, probably. And then you got Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams at this point, and for me, I mean, they're both nothing more than flexes because they both cannibalize from each other, essentially.
Well, they do, and you have Pittsburgh's defense, which has given up the fifth fewest fantasy points so far this season, and just in general, as bad as the offense is for Pittsburgh, the defense keeps them in every single game. So, yeah, if we're looking, I would try to, and Melvin Gordon has a bit of a leg injury he was dealing with midweek, try to avoid the running game because they're going to try to make Teddy throw the ball, and I think you really just maybe focus on the guys we just said, Tim Patrick, Noah Fant. Now, for the Steelers, the defense, I like that as a play this week. But other than that, if you got Najee Harris on your team, you're going to have to play him because there's not going to be a better option, right? It's really just that case. Is he going to be your first choice? No, but you're not going to have too many other options. And he has been getting a lot of work.
Yeah.
The production has for fantasy-wise, you will have been happy with it to this point. It is concerning with that offensive line that it could drop off at any time. But at the very least, if they're running the ball, he's getting it, and that makes him an RB1.
Yeah, exactly. 92% of the snaps he's on the field for, and literally every game this season. So, I mean, that's what you want to see, right? I mean, that if the points aren't coming, that kind of stuff usually points to more points coming in the future, right? So unless something drastically changes, like more injuries, Big Ben himself, is replaced. I mean, honestly, if Big Ben's replaced, that might actually be better for the Steelers offense.
It might be better.
But right now, as long as he's back there and healthy, not much is changing for Harrison. Like we talked about off the top, I don't think we need to spend too much time on this, but Juju is a WR3 at best. James Washington Pat Freiermuth, Chase Claypool, probably all sits for me. It's really just Deontay Johnson. In the passing game, it's Deontay Johnson and nobody else at this point.
That's it. He is getting a lot of target, 20, almost 25 fantasy points last week. Why? Because he's catching passes 5 yards out from the disintegrating elbow of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
So it's Johnson, it's Harris, and it's the defense for Pittsburgh. And I think really that's about it for that team. Let's get another in here for week 5 fantasy football start sits here on the Fantasy Show. Miami Dolphins at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Boy, man, like this Buccaneers team, or sorry, Dolphins team show, it was progressing so well over the last the 2 years with Brian Flores. Then you have Tua in and it was starting. And it just seems like they're kind of stuck in the mud right now. Isn't that sort of how it feels? Like they're not really starting or going. They're just kind of in neutral. I don't really know what to make of them.
Yeah, right, because you probably thought the Dolphins' defense would be a little better than it is.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, the injuries to Tua have slowed things, and I think that's valid. That's like a valid look at things, right? But at the same time, yeah, I mean, Myles Gaskin not producing the way you want.
0.3 points.
Yeah, it's not pretty, right? Like you look at the wide receivers, right? Jalen Waddle has been, I think he's been as advertised, but like he's basically catching slants and slot routes and a lot of passes near the line of scrimmage. It feels like, and then everyone else is a risky play at best. Like you know what? I think the best Dolphins fantasy play this week might actually be Mike Gesicki, if only because. Jacoby Brissett doesn't throw the ball all that deep, right? He basically is just peppering the underneath throws, yeah, with checkdowns and short throws. So that's why Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki are like TE1 and WR2 for Waddle maybe, but everyone else, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, Albert Wilson, none of these guys are you're starting because you can't rely on them.
Well, I'm surprised Waddle hasn't done better with Jacoby Brissett just for the reasons you outlined there, like under 8 fantasy points last week. Maybe it pops up a little bit with the Buccaneers, but that defense, we know how good it is. Will Fuller, of course, to the injured reserve. Yeah. Told you not to take Will Fuller, folks. Told you. But anyway, he's the injured finger. Lots of finger injuries. Injured reserve, he's gone. Running backs, no. Like, Devontae Parker's been decent. Like, WR3. Like, I think if you place your expectations, Waddle, Parker, WR3, and Gesicki in some aspect of a tight end one, which as we've spoken about before, doesn't mean you're having a good day if you're a tight end one. Doesn't mean you're having a good day, but Gesicki's put up 18.6 and 16.7 fantasy points in PPR the last 2 weeks. Significant. The target share, too, showed 12 and 6. So I'm with you. I think the only must start is Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, and again, will that be the same when Tua comes back? I don't know. I honestly don't know. So if you have Gesicki or he's on the waiver wire, and you're let's say you were someone who has Gronk or you're someone who has George Kittle and Gesicki's on the waiver wire, you could do it, especially in a half or full PPR. I think you could do a lot worse than Mike Gesicki this week. But I mean, use him while you can because what the value looks like again when Tua comes back is dicey at best. And then you look at the Bucks on the other side of things. I mean, I think again a lot of the usual suspects, right? I mean, you're starting Chris Godwin. You can probably flex Antonio Brown this week. You're starting Tom Brady, obviously, despite the lackluster showing against his New England Patriots, right? Like the game was pouring all week and all game. So you know that was just a down game for everyone in general. But you're still starting Tom Brady week in and week out. And you know Leonard Fournette is probably an RB2. It's just Mike Evans is I'm a little. I'm less bullish on Evans this week because he is the guy who is probably going to see Xavier Howard, who is probably the brightest spot on that Dolphins defense, and he is one of the better cover corners in the NFL. But at the same time, I mean, you may not have a better option than to start and Mike Evans and hope for like a 3-catch, 30-yard, 2-touchdown game or something like that.
Which he's done.
Yeah, he's done that a lot.
He's done that a lot. And because of the amount of quality targets that Tom Brady has, it really, I feel, puts Evans and Godwin, neither's a WR1. They're both in the wide receiver 2 category, which is fine. They're both in the, you know, those mid to high teen potential. Antonio Brown, like you said, WR3 or flex spot with potential to go off. The running backs, we get like Leonard Fournette tweets and that whole backfield again. It's sort of like the Kansas City Chiefs, although Clyde Edwards-Helaire has popped the last couple of weeks, where it's like they're going to pass the ball and then pass some more. And if the running backs do anything, it's a total bonus, and don't rely on them if you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, I think when it comes to Ronald Jones, for example, he could be probably cut at this point, but if Fournette gets injured, maybe then we have a different conversation. But right now, I mean, it's the Tom Brady to receivers show, and the Dolphins will, I think it'll, I think this game will be lower scoring, generally speaking, than I think we think, I would imagine, just because that's how things go. But I will also say this, Mike Evans likely getting the top matchup with Howard probably means I really like the Antonio Brown, maybe like the whatever the over is on receptions for AB. I like it because he had 11 targets last week, and I would expect it to be relatively similar again against the Dolphins, because if Mike Evans is getting shadowed by Xavier Howard, then after Godwin, Brady's going to look to the underneath throws to someone like AB, probably a decent chunk, I would imagine.
I'm with you. And remember, Rob Gronkowski's still out. Cameron Bray, you can put him in, folks. You know, I don't think it's going to be a big day, but if tight ends, if, you know, I would say Zach Ertz over Bray, but if you're stuck on waivers, maybe Bray is a good play. All right, we're going to step aside at the top of the next hour in just a few minutes, folks. It will be giveaway time, Domino's Pizza giveaways, EA Sports Madden 22 giveaways. Stay tuned, and of course, the rest of your fantasy football start sits coming up on the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. People's text line open right now, 590-590. Get your fantasy football start sits. And remember, folks, early game from London, England. Falcons versus Jets, 9:30 Eastern. So get your fantasy questions in and set your lineup. Before the question show, let's take care of some business. This is giveaway day on the fantasy show. First of all, we put a bow on our season-long Fantasy Baseball Sportsnet Listener League. And show, when it was all said and done, it was a battle back and forth all season long between so many different. I love the different weekly winners. We had a lot of different ones. But in the end, the champ, Greg Wozniak, gets it done, and show he won by almost 200 points season long. Greg in our league, good for him.
Congratulations, Greg. Greg interacts with us on Twitter every now and again, and it was a pretty competitive group. I mean, it was cool. A lot of the same names at the top of the list, like Beaker 59 and Blogar, all hail Blogar, right?
Monty.
right, Monty, yeah, Monty, Johnny Hahn, Chris Martins, Old Sauce.
Jazz Violette.
Yeah, a lot of those guys have been at the top or near the top of the weekly rankings all season long. But, congratulations to all those guys, but especially to Greg.
Yeah, Greg, so what Greg wins, show, and this is, I didn't really know what it would be. To be honest, the baseball season was coming to an end, and so I contacted our prize department. I was like, we need like a cool prize. And so they said, how about this? A baby blue Randall Grichuk Blue Jays jersey and a hat. I missed that part. How about that, Greg? A baby blue, one of those sweet baby blue Randall Grichuk Blue Jays jerseys and a Blue Jay hat, and I'm going to send you a pile of Domino's pizza, too.
That's not a bad little prize for participating in our fantasy pool. And I mean, look, I'll say this: it may be tough to win the yearly prize when it's all said and done. But I think I love doing the fantasy pool on Sportsnet.ca because it's simple, it's easy to do, it's easy to sign up, and we give away prizes every single week during baseball season, which is
you know
from April to the beginning of October.
That's right. We give away a lot of Domino's pizza. So Greg, awesome job. We will get that. We'll get your address. We'll message you offline and do it that way. So we'll make sure we do our listener pool next week. All right. So that's one out of the way. Now, here's a Domino's pizza giveaway. We put this in show after I got back from Cleveland a couple weeks ago after the Browns defeated the Chicago Bears. So what I'm doing is anytime the Cleveland Browns win, you win on the fantasy show. Domino's Pizza giveaway for anybody who enters based on the Browns' victory. So here's the question, and you can text in 590-590 or on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Which Browns player led the team in receptions during Cleveland's 14-7 win over the Vikings? Which Browns player led the team in receptions during Cleveland's 14-7 win over the Vikings? We'll randomly pick a winner out of the correct answers at the end of the show, and you will win a Domino's Pizza prize.
And the Browns are 3-1, so we're doing this twice, of course, because we didn't do it the first win of the season, of course. But so I would imagine we're going to do this at least once more this year, Andy.
Yeah,
right? Maybe twice more. I'm being generous.
14 more. No, I guess it can't be 14 more.
No, it can't
12
be 14,
more.
Yeah, can't be 14 more.
I'm working one. 12 more. Yeah, and then into the playoffs. That's regular season. If the Browns win the Super Bowl, I will go come to your house and deliver Domino's pizza personally.
You know
that?
What? I hope they do win the Super Bowl, because I want to see somebody post on Twitter a picture of you delivering a Domino's pizza to their house. You heard it here, people. If the Browns win the Super Bowl, Andy will drive to your house and deliver you pizza. I assume we're going to say like in the GTA. Let's say that.
I guess. Well, because we have listeners in Saskatchewan and Newfoundland. I'm just saying
that.
Drive
to
that might be a little tough.
Yeah.
I don't think sports is going to cover a plane ticket for me to go. But, if at all possible, I will drive to your home with a pizza of your choice, and I will deliver it. If and when the Browns win the Super Bowl.
All right.
So you can, I hope I have to do it, Joe. I hope I have to do it. So that's the Domino, what you can do to win some Domino's prize. And like I said before, the great folks at EA Sports gave me in the, I guess it was August Now show, some codes to give away for Madden 22. EA Sports, everybody loves playing Madden. And I thought I gave them all away. I was going through my emails this week. I had one left. I have a code left. So here's what you have to do to enter. And I want to tie this in, show, to the. You've heard me talk about my UFF sports projects before on the program.
Sure.
This latest one is American Football Legends League, and I think this is going to be the coolest one. I've told you a little bit about it. This is where, show, through video game simulation, we're going to broadcast each game live, including a game of the week with commentary. We combine eras from any NFL player from 1950 through the present day, who's retired, and put them all in through computer programs and algorithms that I don't understand how it works, but it's done. We'll put them all in into a video game simulation, and people will get to buy their franchise. We're auctioning off 16 franchises October 20th to 22nd. Go to uffsports.com to register, or hit me up on Twitter. We'll get you registered. And out of those 16 franchises, show, depending on your highest to lowest bid, you pick which of the 16 legends you want as a team captain, which includes digital athlete NFTs like Chris Carter, Michael Vick, Eric Metcalf, Nate Burleson, those type of guys. And I'm going to be hosting live Friday, October 22nd from the Pro Football Hall of Fame with my guy, Eric Metcalf, the franchise auction show. So I'm super excited about that.
Can I pick Drew Bledsoe?
Yes. You Excellent. Show, if you get a team, I will make sure that Drew Bledsoe is in
Excellent.
For you.
Drew Bledsoe and Kevin Falk. That's who I'm taking.
Wow. That's I would suggest then you would be picking at the, near the top of the next of the first Legends draft order.
Right.
After the first season. Out of all the people from 1950 to now, your first pick would be Drew Bledsoe.
Yes, that's Drew amazing. Bledsoe. And then Kevin Falk. And
right.
then let's say Corey Dillon. I'll go with Corey
Dillon. Oh, okay. Hey, nothing wrong with Corey Dillon. And that's the great thing. You can pick any of these players to play on your franchise and big prize pools and all that good stuff. So uffsports.com. But the way you win, the reason I bring all this up is how you win the Madden 22 is follow on Twitter at the AFLL. I'll put a tweet out on it as well.
Okay.
And tell me, one, which copy, which version of Madden you want for Xbox or for PlayStation. Use hashtag Madden22. And then type in which NFL great would you have captain your fantasy team? If you can pick any legend from any era, show has picked Drew Bledsoe.
Oh,
I might go in a different direction.
Oh, baby. Or maybe what about Steve Grogan? What about Steve Grogan? Oh. Maybe Grogan.
Folks, if I'll let you know if show buys a team, because then you want to be in, because you'll win some money. but that's how you can do it. That's how you can do it. So Madden 22 copy You just follow on Twitter at the AFLL, American Football Legends League. Tell me which NFL legend you would want captaining your team. We'll put out a tweet as well and promote that.
Ooh, Doug Flutie. I take Doug Flutie, too. I forgot about Doug Flutie.
Flutie can be fun.
Yeah.
Right? Michael Vick, I think, would be amazing, too.
Him or Doug Flutie? I'd probably go Doug Flutie.
That's I want you in my league, my Legends League show. Nothing against Dougie. But yeah. Anyway, so that's how you can win a lot of stuff there. Sure, let's get to some people's text line stuff.
Yeah, let's do it. So I mentioned, again, 590-590 name and location. I did mention earlier that we're going to try and push all of the Jets-Falcons ones to the top of the list because the game starts in 20 minutes, essentially. Ooh. So let's do it. No name on this one, but I'll read it anyways. 12-team PPR. WR2, Jalen Waddle or Jameson Crowder. Calvin Ridley is out, so I need that WR2 toot sweet for the early London thingy. You guys rock.
Toot sweet. I like it. But you know what? I think with a health, I was just making sure he's healthy for once, and he is. I think you go Jameson Crowder here. Like, I know we were talking up Corey Davis and all that show, but he got 9 targets, 7 catches last week and a score. I think out of the two, I'd rather go with what should be potentially a sloppy but high-scoring game because the defenses stink. I would rather that than counting on Brissett to Waddle against Tampa Bay's defense. I think I go Crowder.
And this gentleman or lady wants to know, QB1 also Herbert or Sam Darnold? Figure we'll answer them in one go.
Oh, against my Brown. So go with Herbert.
All right, yeah, James Herbert has been, he is so fun to watch.
Oh, I love Sam. Listen, and Sam Darnold, in a lot of cases this year, can be a very usable and serviceable guy right here, especially show when you look at it. 10th overall in fantasy football. That dude put up, even with 2 interceptions, last week against Dallas, 33.5 fantasy points. Like, Sam Darnold is no joke. And this is against Philly as well. Philly, Minnesota, New York, Atlanta, that next stretch. Outside of Justin Herbert, Sam Darnold might be my choice over a lot of other QBs.
Yeah, it's true. I think like this particular texter, I think, is in a good spot because he has both. You know, I think either way you'll be fine. The Eagles are not exactly the most stout fantasy defense, so I think you'll be fine if you want to start Sam Darnold. But Justin Herbert, I think, you know, because of the upside, I think that's the play there, right? Especially with all the pieces around him, I would say. I really like Justin Herbert. Let's go to another question on the people's text line. Jesse from Woodbridge. Good morning, guys. I'm sorry to do this to you this morning, but the first game is early. I need to make a decision. Another Jameson Crowder question, Andy. Jesse wants to know, Crowder or Cole Beasley?
Oh, Crowder. Hunter, especially with the rise of Dawson Knox. I think you go Crowder without a shadow of a doubt. I think Knox keeps cutting into Beasley's target share there. And, you know, against Kansas City, is there a chance he could blow up? Sure. There's also a chance he could put up another 2-catch game.
Yeah.
So I think you go Crowder.
It's a tough one, too, right? Because that's also the Sunday nighter, and tight ends are so scarce, right? Wide receivers are so scarce. And you look at the tight ends, because Jesse wants to know about tight ends as well. He says he has Kittle got injured, so he needs to start. He needs to pick between Tyler Conklin or Cameron Brate.
I would say Conklin, but I would also say see if Zach Ertz is on your waiver wire. That's a move I made. I'm going to start Hawkinson over Ertz this week anyway, but if Ertz is available, he's only owned in 37% of Yahoo leagues. I would take Ertz over either of those plays. Carolina got gashed a bit last week, right? So I think Ertz would be the better, safer play out how he has emerged the last 2 weeks as a fantasy producer and looks to be back in the fold in that offense.
Paul from Bradford, who would you start at wide receiver today, Hunter Renfrow or Corey Davis?
My boy, Hunter, by God, Renfrow show. Get that man. I said Cordarrelle Patterson in your life. Get Hunter Renfrow in your life, too. Like, all the dude's doing is running ankle-breaking, precise routes and catching touchdowns. 2 weeks in a row, the guy has double digits in every single game fantasy football this year. The target share, 9, 7, 6, and 8. And in the past 2 weeks, show, he's been a WR1. I think you'll Hunter Renfrow if it is full PPR.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Paul didn't say what the format was. I'll go Corey Davis just because the difference between the Bears defense and their pretty ferocious pass rush maybe getting to Derek Carr is the difference for me between whatever you want to do with Hunter Renfrow. I agree with you. I think everything you said about Renfrow is true, right? I'm a little worried about the offense for the Raiders a little bit going up against the Bears. Whereas like even though the Jets are a pretty awful team, Zach Wilson, like we were talking about off the top, Zach Wilson throws the ball a lot to Corey Davis, and he's playing truly probably the worst defense in the NFL in the Atlanta Falcons, right? Yeah. So I like that one. Let's see here. I see another one from Juan from Thornhill. 12-team half-point PPR, Corey Davis, Marquise Brown, or Marvin Jones Jr. as the flex?
Ooh, you know I love me some Marvin Jones. Oh, boy. I'm going to go Corey Davis here. Based on, we've talked a lot about Corey Davis and what he can do and what that means. Marvin Jones, I still do like. Based against Tennessee, Tennessee lost to the Jets, man. I think it's going to be a bit of a revenge game. And that, like Mike Vrabel, Vrabel from the Patriots Day show.
Oh, yeah.
That dude is not going to take down losing to the Jets likely, and you're playing Jacksonville. So I'll go Corey Davis and Marvin Jones in that order. But ooh, I could see this as a punishing game for the Titans looking to get a bit of their swag back against Jacksonville.
All right, we'll do two more here because I just see two more with questions about the Jets Falcons game. I see one. I'm not sure if this is a question or not. This is from Connor in Calgary. It just says I have Carter or Crowder this morning. So I assume Connor is asking whether to start Michael Carter or Jameson Crowder. But there's nothing on whether or not it's a standard half or full PPR.
No matter what the format, I think you're Jameson Crowder. Just more consistent, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair too. I mean, yeah, Michael Carter could perform against a terrible Falcons rush defense, but I think Crowder since returning has led the team in target share per game, and I don't think that necessarily takes away from Corey Davis because he's really just throwing the ball to these two guys, Zach Wilson. But I'm going to go with you there. And then the last one, just replying to that text. Okay, there we go. So I'm just going to find the last one here. Let's see. Eddie from Angus, standard flex, Antonio Gibson, Chuba Hubbard, or Crowder?
Ooh, say the names again, show.
So Antonio Gibson, Chuba Hubbard, or Crowder?
Hubbard disappointed me, as far as the production wise go. You know, like I was hoping for more. Maybe he lines back in. And I was thinking, show, because like if you look at, I think talent wise, compared to when Mike Davis went in and was an immediate fantasy contributor for the first 3 or 4 weeks filling in for McCaffrey, Hubbard didn't do that. He might be able to. Now, Gibson would be my automatic spot here, but actually, I'm just looking here. Recently reported this morning by Ian Rapoport, Antonio Gibson with a shin injury is expected to play week 5 against the Saints. With that being said, I would go with Gibson then.
Gibson, okay. Yeah, because I think it was reported that he has like a stress fracture in his shin,
yes,
right? But it's that's something that's like relatively manageable. I think he's probably gonna have to play through it for the rest of the season, right? So I think if you feel confident that what you've seen from Gibson so far is what you're getting, then yeah, I'll probably go Gibson as well. I don't mind Hubbard this week. I think we'll get to this when we talk about Eagles Panthers, but I just think that last week the Panthers were behind virtually the entire game. And so Sam Darnold was forced to throw the entire time. Now, if you think that the Eagles, this is going to be a more positive game script for the Panthers against the Eagles, then I think Chuba Hubbard is going to be a little better because in the early goings before the game got out of hand for the Cowboys, Chuba Hubbard did operate like a workhorse back. He got like 13 touches in the early going, and then the game got out of hand. They had to throw the ball to catch up, basically, right? So I think that's the only concern, I think. But I don't think the Panthers defense is better. They got Stephon Gilmore as well, and the Eagles offense is not as scary as the Dallas is.
No, not at all. Okay, so we'll answer the rest of your people's text line questions before the 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll make sure we get to all of those. You can hit us up 590-590 and on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. All right, Joe, let's keep kicking it through our fantasy football start sits for week 5 in the NFL. New Orleans Saints at Washington. The Washington football team that we just mentioned about Antonio Gibson. So I'm liking that play there. Listen, Joe, Taylor Heinicke. You know what I say? I want a tall, frosty glass of Heinicke. Guy keeps going. Look at this. 3 weeks in a row. 3 weeks of Taylor Heinicke as the starter. 21.04, 23.38, 27.9 fantasy points, and on the year, an 8-3 touchdown to interception ratio. He's a bit reckless. He can be a bit wild. But you know what? That means he's going to chuck up the football. And if I'm looking head-to-head start sits in this one, I would start Taylor Heinicke over Jameis Winston without question.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Jameis Winston, he just doesn't throw the ball enough anymore.
He doesn't.
The ball just does not leave his hand enough for it to be, you know, even for you to even have concerns because, you know, we're talking about, well, Jameis Winston throw a ton of interceptions this year. Well, he's not even getting the chance because they're just not letting him throw the ball all that much, which is unfortunate because it's to the detriment of pretty much the only fantasy viable player on the New Orleans Saints right now, which is Alvin Kamara. I am like a little concerned about Kamara going forward. Not so much that you're ever going to sit Kamara. I mean, like, he's healthy, so you're going to start him week in and week out, essentially, right? But I think he is a lower end RB1, maybe even the highest end RB2, only because the offense is so discombobulated in New Orleans right now, right? Like everyone else, Marquez Callaway, Juwan Johnson, Adam Trautman, you can say whatever you want about them, but none of those guys are consistent enough on a week-to-week basis outside of Alvin Kamara, essentially.
Well, and the reason fantasy football poison, the Reaper, Grim Reaper, Taysom Hill, show two rushing touchdowns last week. They take Jameis Winston off the field when it's at the goal line, and they put Taysom Hill in.
Man, Andy, I lost. I just want to tell you this. I was up by 48 points with a team that I had Alvin Kamara on. I was up by 48 points going into Monday night's game with the Raiders and Chargers, and I lost that game by less than 2 points. And I mean, all that it would have taken to win. I mean, you get a point to any part of this offense. All it would have taken to win. But all I was asking for was for Taysom Hill not to vulture one of those two touchdowns, and he did. Taysom. Damn you.
See? Sean Payton hates your football team, folks. And so does Taysom Hill. Fantasy poison, Taysom Hill. You're right, Joe. You got to put Alvin Kamara right now, high-end RB2. You're going to play him because who else are you going to pick? That's really the issue there. And for Washington, I think, we talked about Gibson, Heinicke, Terry McLaurin, and probably, while Logan Thomas hasn't been, he's been a bit more inconsistent than maybe I would have, than I'd like. But, you know, we know the possibility is there for him to produce.
So, well, he's out, though. He's out this game. He's not playing this week.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he's on the IR.
Yeah, he had the hammy injury. So no Logan Thomas.
Right.
Do you want to start Ricky Seals-Jones, who I think is the backup tight end? Absolutely not. You do not want to take a risk on that. Unfortunately, you know what? From a real life perspective, with no Logan Thomas, I think Curtis Samuel becomes that much more valuable because he did get activated last week. But it's unfortunate that it's coincided with now Logan Thomas going to the IR. But I mean, still, the guy you want to start in this offense from a pass catching standpoint is Scary Terry, right?
Yeah, and Samuel coming in is how he gets worked back in is interesting. Now, this is just house cleaning. I'm not saying to go get these guys, but they also signed Jay Sternberger, former Packers tight end who lost the job to Robert Tonyan. That's just for your knowledge. Don't go get him, but that's just so you know. Curtis Samuel, until we see really how this all works, and Samuel's not even at 100% either coming back. And this is reported 43 minutes ago from Ian Rappaport. Groin issue for Samuel, but he is expected to play against the Saints. So depends your risk reward. I'd fade on him right now if you could. So let's get to Eagles Panthers. Now we touched on this a little bit with Chuba Hubbard. I think Chuba Hubbard has to be considered an RB2 with RB1 upside depending on game script.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, like I was saying, like Hubbard led every single Panther in snap share last week.
Yeah.
And which I think is good to see. But again, you're hoping for, like you just said, Andy, you're hoping for a positive game script because, like I was saying with the start sits, the problem was more than anything that the Panthers fell behind early and then they had to abandon the rushing game to catch up, right? But I mean, in the early goings, he was, like I was saying, he was operating like a workhorse, right? So you're still plugging. He's not Christian McCaffrey because nobody is, but you're plugging, I think, Hubbard in as what? Like a RB2, probably mid RB2. Like, you're hoping that...
Yeah, I mean, you have to play him.
You have to play him, and most people got him off the waivers anyways, right? It's not like you paid up a whole ton for him. I think it's just who you're benching for Hubbard at this point. I think Hubbard is going to be one of the more popular questions on the rest of the people's text line that we get to after the show. But the really interesting... Because, you can probably get away with starting Sam Darnold every week now because of how good he's been and because of the rushing output. I think he was the QB1 last week because of those rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
And then you got a DJ Moore who you're going to start every week at this point anyways. I don't think we have to talk too much about DJ Moore because he is phenomenal, right? He's a lot of fun.
Robbie Anderson's a ghost.
Robbie Anderson is what I want to get to here. Robbie Anderson had 11 targets last week, which I think is really encouraging, but he has only topped 50 yards once, and I think you have to think that, again, we're talking about the negative game script for the Panthers, meaning that the Sam Darnold had to throw the ball a lot. Robbie Anderson essentially occupied a lot of the routes underneath or closer to Sam Darnold that Christian McCaffrey would have otherwise been taking, right? And I think that the question for Robbie Anderson for me, and I wonder where you fall on this, is simply that if after this week Robbie Anderson continues to get this same amount of target share, I'm willing to say you start him. I think he's a sit this week until he proves otherwise. But the question really is, when CMC does come back, what do you do with Robbie Anderson? Because he's not going to get the same target share, I would imagine.
No, I think what you hope for is he has one breakout game and then you try to trade him. Try to sell high.
But who's buying Robbie Anderson? You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be really tough.
Well, I think it's someone who, that's why you have to know your league, someone who's not paying attention and just goes on. You have to take advantage of the week.
Take advantage of some taco.
You got to the taco in your league. You have to know the weak sheep, the one that's a little slow on the straggler, and then you pounce like a hyena and try to get it. But yeah, there's not much value in him at all. For the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, real life-wise, questions. Fantasy-wise, star.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby. You can keep that man in your lineup and keep on rolling with Hurts. Now, what happens, though, is what do you make of Devonta Smith? Tremendous week one, two slow games against Kansas City, 122 yards. Carolina's defense has given up the fifth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers, so a lot tighter. I think really I want to focus on the tight ends. Like, I'll start Devonta Smith, but I'm going to be looking at him probably as a back end WR2, maybe closer to a flex. And I think it just the ball gets spread out between Ertz and Goddard mainly. Smith after that. Running backs, I don't want any piece of at all. That is a mess between Sanders and Gainwell. Yikes. So I think really, show Hurts at QB, QB1, and then, you know, as a secondary choice for tight end.
Yeah, I think that's where I land, too. I would also just add to that, Andy, Quez Watkins. I'm not starting him in any season-long fantasy pools, but maybe in the DFS lineup, if you spent up elsewhere, I wouldn't hate starting Quez Watkins as, like, the final wide receiver on your roster. If you're just to fill out your roster, I can't imagine he's going to be very expensive. So on like DraftKings, for example, but by no means am I saying start him in a season long thing, just as a contrarian end of roster move to get to your salary cap. I wouldn't mind Quez Watkins, 7 targets last week, Jalen Reagor, only 1 target. So, after Devonta Smith and the tight ends, Quez Watkins is a guy that seems to have some trust from Jalen Hurts. But again, just to be clear, it's just at the end of a DFS lineup.
Right. Interesting flyer choice for a DraftKings lineup if you want to give that a shot. All right, let's take the break, and then we will continue to roll through our fantasy football start sits for every game for week 5. Remember, folks, kickoff is minutes away for Falcons and Jets. So it's the early game out of London, England. So if you haven't set your lineup, do it right now. And then we'll continue when we come back. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are rolling along on the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Folks, perfect football food. I know it's Thanksgiving. I had turkey dinner number one yesterday. I'm kind of turkeyed out already myself, Joe, so I'm thinking Domino's Pizza. Have it before the turkey, after, whatever, if you're in Canada. If you're in the States, it doesn't really matter. You can have it your own pizza day. But you can get a large, 2-topping, unlimited pizzas. unlimited two-topping large pizzas for just $10.99 each. It's phenomenal. But check out all the great deals, delivery, carryout, all at Domino's.ca, Domino's.ca. Okay, show. Let's get cooking with our fantasy football start sets continuing on Titans versus Jaguars. And like we mentioned earlier, I just feel this is going to be a statement game. And if it's not for the Titans, this season might be close to flushing down the toilet. I just can't see Mike Vrabel and the Titans with how proud and tough that they are losing to the Jets and the Jaguars. This could be like a 50-touch day for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think Derrick Henry, I mean, what more do you need to say, right? If you pick Derrick Henry in the, I'll also say this, Andy, if you pick Derrick Henry in the top of your first round, like if you somehow were a Nostradamus and you took Henry over CMC or over Kamara or over Dalvin Cook, or maybe honestly even over like Nick Chubb or anything like that, I think your Nick Chubb has been fine, but Derrick Henry has been great, right? So if you took Derrick Henry over any of those guys, you're laughing, because he probably fell in a lot of leagues to maybe the third, I mean, quote unquote fell to third or four or whatever. It's still a high investment, but yeah, Derrick Henry is the engine of this offense. AJ Brown apparently is going to play today, I think is what I saw. So are you starting AJ Brown? I think against the Jaguars, I mean, I know he's going to be a little, he's probably maybe on a snap count, but I mean, like you said, the Titans need to win this game in the division. I don't love it, but I mean, you might have to start AJ Brown this week.
I think you absolutely start AJ Brown. Julio Jones is out, so it's going to be sort of a flashback if they're going to throw the ball to last year's show, right? It's going to be AJ Brown or hand it off to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah,
that's the offense.
That's pretty much it. And Ryan Tannehill he's been disappointing this year. You know, overall, I would say Tannehill is probably a QB2. Like if you're in one QB leagues, I think there might be a better option than Tannehill. But if you're in a two QB league, you absolutely have to start. Or a super flex, you absolutely have to start him.
Yeah, like he's just right now, he's looking like Miami Tannehill, right? Let's face it.
Yeah.
He loses
unfortunately.
Right, he loses his offensive coordinator, and he's flashing back to Dolphins Tannehill. Right now, QB1, I stay even in this matchup. Like, if you don't have a better option, you know, I guess, like, let's say this show, I would rather you play Ryan Tannehill over Geno Smith.
Sure.
Going forward,
not,
but that's not
a high bar, right?
Yeah. That's not a high bar. So, and for the Jags, I think you can go Marvin Jones as a flex, potentially in PPR. James Robinson, that has been a good fantasy story show, that James Robinson has come back after a shockingly bad week one and into week two, and then it just seemed like he overtook Carlos Hyde, and we're back to where it should be with James Robinson as a true RB1. He has 3 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks and looks to be getting back to being the real deal.
Yeah, exactly. I think that Carlos Hyde was a surprise inactive before the Thursday night game against Cincinnati. I don't know if you've seen why. I haven't seen why when it comes to like why Hyde might have been inactive, but I haven't seen
shoulder
any reason.
Injury.
That's what it was. Okay, so I haven't seen if that has trended any differently for this game against the Titans, because if Carlos Hyde does play in this one, I mean, I think that does downgrade James Robinson, but if Hyde does not play, if he's inactive again, or if he is banged up, I think you probably are going to start James Robinson anyways, but I think that does elevate him a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like he will play. He had the extra days to recover, but even in the one game where he was in there, he got 8 carries, and it looked like, now Urban Meyer's a bit of a...
That guy's getting fired like in the next month, probably, right? Like he has to.
He quits.
He quits. Hey, okay.
He gets you watch. He's gonna start getting headaches around week 8, and Boatsky, he's gonna be gone.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
What a mess! Like, you know what? I think we both kind of figured it would be a bit of a mess for college coaches coming to the NFL, anyways. But like, just outside of football stuff, it has been a disaster. Like all that stuff with his wife and this, you know, being with a random woman at some club after a game and lying to the players and just like stuff you would never in a million. Like if you had the Urban Meyer Jacksonville experience on bingo card, none of those things were on your bingo card. Like, my goodness.
No, it's has not gone well for them. So there's always garbage time potential. LaVisca Chenault, I do like also. I think you can get him and he's going to be
WR3, right? PPR leagues.
Yeah. Yeah. PPR3 flex. I think Chenault you can work in. Let's get to Patriots Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like this game show for fantasy. Can I choose no one? Oh, Lordy.
No,
that's an ugly game.
Yeah, it is ugly. Okay, let's start with the Texans, Andy. It's Brandon Cooks and nobody else, like we've been saying all year. And Brandon Cooks against a decent New England defense, even with guys out, I would say is probably like a top-end WR3. You know what I mean? Like, you're not starting him as your top option. You're probably not even starting him as your second option. But I think if you are in a pinch for injuries, you could do a lot worse than Brandon Cooks. But, I mean, no, I don't think we really need to say anything else about anyone else in this offense, I imagine.
No, that's it. And then for the Patriots, again, I don't want the running backs. I thought Mac Jones handles himself well as a professional rookie quarterback in real life. I'm not playing him in fantasy. I don't really want any of the receivers. Like, I guess Jacoby Myers, you know, the tight ends still are splitting. That's it. Like, I just really don't want any piece of this game. Like, I don't want to watch the game from a general interest standpoint. Hunter Henry got the touchdown, and because he got that touchdown on 32 yards, he got 13 fantasy points. If he doesn't get a touchdown, he would have got you like 5 points. So, you know, again, if you want to do Hunter Henry, sure, he might not get you anything. So, I just don't want really any part of this game.
Jacoby Myers, I will say I'm starting him this week. He is a WR3, much like Brandon Cooks, but the guy is a hog. Like, he gets an incredible amount of this target share. 8 receptions on 12 targets last week against Tampa Bay for 70 yards, and he had 45 yards passing, which he is prone to do from time to time.
Right.
I really like Jacoby Myers this week because the Texans defense is, you know, it's like fine. It's fine, right? It's not terrible. It's not great. But I agree with you. Other than Myers, you're not starting Nelson Agholor. You're not starting any of the tight ends. Damian Harris, you could probably flex this week, but I just want to caution, 4 of the 5 starting offensive linemen are out for this game for the New England Patriots. 2 are injured and 2 are on the COVID list, and they weren't activated in time for today. So 4 of 5 will be backups this week. Mac Jones. So I think just keep that in mind. That is why I like Jacoby Myers, because in James White's absence and he's done for the season, Myers has picked up the slack in the short passing game to essentially be like, you know what I mean? Like, to be the short run game guy, essentially, if that makes sense, right? From a pass catching standpoint. So that's like the only guy. So essentially it's Jacoby Myers and Brandon Cooks. And now we can move on to Bears Raiders.
Correct. That is correct. Absolutely. Get game. Oh, bleh. Bears Raiders. So Montgomery out. He's on the IR. Damian Williams was a hot waiver wire pickup, and he was banged up. He was questionable during the week, but he is at full. He came off the injury report. He is at full health. Khalil Herbert is somebody I'm not saying to play, but keep an eye on the rookie behind Williams, because Williams is like, couldn't you totally see this being a timeshare? Like, if I have to play one, I'll play Williams today because I think he should get the bulk load. But I'm just thinking, I just feel Herbert is going to be somebody that they're at least going to give a look to at some point. And if he performs, could be big. So if you have room on your bench, you know, maybe you get him on. I'm not going to rush out and get him, but I want to keep an eye on how that develops.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, right? Like you said, I don't think he's going to be getting a lot of work today necessarily, but because Dave is, you know, short week, they had to put Montgomery on the IR like relatively last minute, although I'm sure they knew once he had the knee sprain that he was going on the IR. So Damian Williams, though, once Montgomery went out, I'll just say this, once he went out with injury last week, I think he ended the day with 70 total yards. He got 50 of his 70 total yards after Montgomery went out. So essentially, like, I guess what I'm saying is, once Montgomery went out, Williams operated like a workhorse running back, right? So if you picked up a workhorse running back off the waiver wire for something like, for not a huge investment, right? I think that's pretty good, right? So I think I think that's just something to keep an eye on. But against the Raiders, they don't have the greatest rush defense, so I think you're starting Damian Williams regardless. I like the play of Damian Williams this week because he seems healthy. And then I'm benching Allen Robinson, unfortunately, until I see Justin Fields do something. You know, it's not Fields' fault, but I just need to see that offense operate in a way that gives Robinson a little more value. Like, honestly, Darnell Mooney is maybe like a little higher ranked right now just because of how Justin Fields, how he plays. But until now, Mooney has to be ranked just a teensy bit above Allen Robinson.
Well, yeah, he's hit double digit figures, almost 20 points last week on 125 yards. That's most of the passing yards for Justin Fields, who has not even hit 9 fantasy points. And for a guy who could be mobile, Matt Nagy's offense. Like that, there's a, we're talking about guys who are going to get fired. That guy's getting fired.
Yeah,
that seat is red hot. I don't even know if he makes it the season personally, but yeah. Again, this is another game you sort of try to avoid. Browns at Chargers.
Wait, real quick, Andy. The Raiders.
Raiders. Yeah.
We already talked about Hunter Renfrow. You're starting Darren Waller. You can probably start Derek Carr on a week in, week out base, right? Like generally speaking, you can probably start him. But Josh Jacobs and is the only real question mark, because I don't think you can start Henry Ruggs or Bryan Edwards with any sort of degree of confidence that they'll be consistent, right?
No. And I even might fade, like, Derek Carr, QB2 this week. I love him on the season, but like you said earlier, that Bears pass rush is tough. That's why I put more value in Hunter Renfrow, even more so. I have him in my waiver wire article every Tuesday on sportsnet.ca as that for PPR, I think a must play. Show in one of my leagues, how crazy is this if we said this at the start of the year? I'm starting Hunter Renfrow over Allen Robinson. That's real life, folks.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah.
That's reality. That's where we're at. So, yeah, I'm with you on Renfrow and Waller. But, yeah, the Jacobs thing, I don't like it. I don't like it so far. Although the Bears' defense, run defense has been able to be had. Like, the Browns ran all over them a couple weeks ago. So, you know, with him healthy, it's not my favorite play. But as an RB2, again, who else are you going to pick? You might not have a choice. I'll use the example.
Yeah.
I'll take him over to Myles Gaskin.
Myles Gaskin is going to be at the bottom of any running back rankings for us this week after the show.
I will take technical director Josh Santos over Myles Gaskin.
Against the Bucks. What do you think Josh could do against the Bucks rush defense?
I think he would get hurt, and I don't want him to get hurt.
Okay, fair enough.
Salt.
Exactly. So, yeah, the Raiders, Waller and Renfrow are the starts there. Try to fade on everybody else. I got too excited for the Browns game, so I wanted to skip right to it.
I know.
I wanted to get right to it.
Here's my take on the Browns game, Andy. You're starting Nick Chubb. You're starting Kareem Hunt. And I guess you could get away with starting Odell if you're really struggling, but I wouldn't. I'm not starting Higgins. I'm not starting ODB. I'm not starting Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'm not starting Austin Hooper. I'm not starting Baker Mayfield. It's literally Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, exactly. And Baker's playing with a partially torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. Lean on the run game as much as possible, especially with Joey Bosa lurking and the Browns starting left tackle. They're down two tackles, so they're going to be having their third and fourth string guys in at the LT spot. So I think a lot of sort of quick handoffs or quick tosses out of the backfield to get the ball out of Baker's hands would be smart for the Chargers. Browns defense is getting at it. So while I would say, yes, start Justin Herbert because he's great, maybe don't think he's going to be going for 30 fantasy points this week. I think he might be tempered a little bit with the Browns defense playing so well.
Yeah, well, the Browns pass rush is playing very well. The Browns secondary is like fine. They're fine, right? That's why I think you always temper expectations. I don't think there have been very many 30 plus fantasy performances from like really any quarterback this season, right? But I think if you start Justin Herbert, I think you can comfortably expect 20 fantasy points, maybe 20, 21, thereabouts. And I think that's reasonable, right, from someone like Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler, you're starting no matter what. Keenan Allen, you're starting no matter what. Mike Williams, he had came back down to earth after last week. But I do think that, again, that was a lot of game script, and they were really going out of their way to cover, like, the biggest receiver on the field. The Raiders were on Monday Night Football. So I still think you can start Mike Williams, just, maybe like a lower-end WR2 performance.
Yep. I think Eckler and Herbert are probably your safest play. And then, for Keenan Allen, like, he's been nice and consistent. He's kind of fallen into a solid WR2 situation, I think, this year. So that's not too bad for him. We got a bunch to really rattle through here, show. So let's go rapid fire. Giants at Cowboys. Daniel Jones for garbage time. Obviously, Dak Prescott over him if it's a direct start sit. But Daniel Jones in situations with his legs, I think, is serviceable. Saquon. Starting to work his way back. I'm interested. I like Zeke over Saquon, but I would say, let's start getting a little less nervous with Saquon Barkley, maybe. Is that fair?
Yeah. No. The offensive line isn't playing better for the New York Giants. Barkley has seen a 77% snap share out of the backfield. So clearly the comfort level with our guy Saquon is getting better. I think he's an RB1 this week. I think I believe Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton are both out. So if he's out, I don't mind Kadarius Toney as a little contrarian play this week. I think he could do well as a WR3. Kenny Golladay, don't love it because he's probably going to see Trevon Diggs, right? And Trevon Diggs has been probably the best corner in the entire NFL so far through 4 weeks, right? So again, if you have him, you probably have to start him, or if you can afford benching him, though, I would. But no one else from the Giants offense apart from Daniel Jones, Barkley, and maybe Kadarius Toney. And then on the other side, Cowboys, I mean, again, it's the usual suspects, right? Dak, Zeke, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. And the question really is, can you stomach the split, let's say, between Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin?
You know what, Joe? I'll say for this week, I'm going Dalton Schultz because CeeDee Lamb, the target share just hasn't been
it has
there.
Dipped.
I hope it goes up. It doesn't make sense not to. Amari Cooper, hamstring issue is questionable. He'll probably play, but might be limited. So I think that might open up even some more opportunities for Dalton Schultz, who's been a star, 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. So Dalton Schultz, I'd say you got to go look at it, sort of must start. Let's go 49ers, Cardinals. We talked about this a bit earlier. Trey Lance, I want him in the lineup against the Cardinals. Might not be pretty overall, real life football wise, but he's going to run. He's going to chuck it up. He's fearless. I think him to Deebo Samuel is the stack in DraftKings contest that you want to look at. Bit of an uptick for Ayuk, and George Kittle, again, if you missed it, is on injured reserve, and we're not liking Ross Dwelly, right, Joe?
Yeah, no Dwelly, and I think Elijah Mitchell is playing, right? I think he is active today, so that really muddles it for Trey Sermon and Mitchell. I mean, I want no part of that if you can avoid it. I know people spent up for Mitchell, but yeah, the top plays really are Deebo, and then, you know, to a lesser degree, Trey Lance. And then on the Cards, again, more usual suspects. You're starting DeAndre Hopkins every week. You're starting Kyler Murray every week. I think Chase Edmonds is an interesting one. He gets a lot of touches in the passing game, so that means in standard, a little bit of a downgrade, but in half or full PPR, I think you can get away and feel good about starting Chase Edmonds. And I mean, AJ Green has flashed a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but again, can you really bank on that? Probably not. So I think the only reliable guys are those three guys, right? Murray, Edmonds, and Hopkins.
Yeah, and Edmonds has a shoulder injury, but is expected to play, according to Adam Schefter. And let's not forget about James Conner.
That's fair, yep.
Couple touchdowns, right? But that's the timeshare. Maybe you lean James Conner, who has 4 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Could be an interesting play over Edmonds. But I think there's the RB2 possibilities for both of them there. Bills Chiefs show. I know we say usual suspects, but that's what it is, folks. That's you got your Josh Allen, your Stephon Diggs. Yes, yes. Knox. Knox is the guy over Cole Beasley, right? over Beasley. Sanders as a flex, he's still getting a decent amount. I wouldn't mind Sanders as a flex.
PPR, yeah, PPR more than anything. If you're in a standard league, I wouldn't worry too much with Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I don't want the running backs if you guys start one. Zach Moss, Edwards-Helaire.
Moss has been more consistent.
Right, and for the Chiefs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, couple hundred-yard games, you know, maybe. I think that comes back down to earth a bit against that Bills defense, but otherwise it's Tyreek Hill, it's Pat Mahomes, it's Travis Kelce.
Yeah, exactly. Not much to say about those guys. I just will mention as well, apparently heavy rainfall in the forecast for this Bills-Chiefs game in Kansas City. So just keep that in mind. Maybe that does give more of an uptick to... I mean, you're not benching any of the pass catchers for any of these guys, right? Like specifically for KC. Like, you're not benching Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. But
no.
But at the same time, I do think if it rains heavily in KC, that might give an uptick to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, despite the fact that he's not... Like, I mean, the Eagles' defense against running backs, terrible. The Bills' defense against running backs, very, very good. But at the same time, if it rains, they might opt to give the ball a little more to CEH. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's the Pat Mahomes show.
Yeah, agreed. And the final one, Monday night, are Indianapolis Colts at the Baltimore Ravens. Carson Two Ankles appears to be back. For how long? I don't know. Do I want to trust him? I do not.
I do not either.
The Ravens, though, like, I think they'll get after Wentz. I think this could be a big day for Jonathan Taylor with Nyheim Hines not at 100%. Marlon Mack wants out of town, so they're not going to be using him too much. I think Taylor is the play, and I believe so. When Wentz has been healthy, and that's been rare, Zach Pascal has shot up. I like Pascal as a better play than Pittman this week.
I'll say this. I just... on Taylor, I'm a little worried on how the game script will be, because I expect the Ravens to annihilate the Colts, right? So if the Ravens really just absolutely, I mean, the game is in Baltimore too, if they crush the Colts this week, I can't, Taylor might be a little bit of a downtick, just because they're going to, much like with Chuba Hubbard and the Panthers last week, they might get away from the run game. But that's really the only concern. And then on the other side, I mean, you're starting Lamar Jackson no matter what. You're probably starting Mark Andrews no matter what. And, you know, Latavius Murray at a flex play in a desperation situation at best. Whoa. At this point. And then Marquise Brown is a WR, like a lower end WR2 to me.
The thing is, as we talk about, Brown and Andrews are on a roller coaster. Mark Andrews is only in one double-digit fantasy point play this year. Yeah. But with how the tight end group is, you're going to play him. It's the run first. It's Lamar Jackson and it's everybody else. That's really what it is.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That's it. Okay. You know what? Let's do our Danger Zone picks here, show. Let's rock and roll. We got 2 minutes left, so let's do it.
2 minute drill, Andy.
2 minute drill.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
And so did we. Okay, show our Danger Zone picks. Mine, I'm going back and I'll make it more dangerous. Ooh, I just got a gut feeling that Trey Lance balls out today for the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm gonna double down. I say this. He is not only the leading rusher for his team, for the 49ers, he also finishes the week as a QB5, a fantasy QB5, and leads the 49ers in rushing yards. So both have to happen for my Danger Zone pick. Okay. Trey Lance Day versus the Cardinals. Let's go. Danger Zone.
I like it, Andy. That does make it more dangerous. So I appreciate you amping up the danger.
Yes.
And I will say for me, I will go with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow with no Jair Alexander for the Green Bay Packers. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins is back. Tyler Boyd is on the menu. Even though Joe Mixon may not play, I think Joe Burrow will finish as the QB1 in week five, right? The QB1. Quarterback will have more fantasy points than Joe Burrow this week.
Jeez. And we want to hear your fantasy football Danger Zone picks on Twitter at AndyMCD1, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Enjoy the games, everybody. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. Get some pizza. Happy Thanksgiving to our Canadian listeners. For Josh, for Show, I'm Andy. This has been The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.